Greetings, my peeps, and welcome to the All Things Basketball Podcast with your boy, GD. In this episode, I'll be doing my Week 22 recap. I'll give you the players of the week, also the players, coaches, and rookies of the month of March. Also, some injury news, fines and ejections, including Draymond Green, of course. And also, I got some fire for Emmanuel Achiu and Jason Witless. At least that's what I call them. So just sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Okay, guys, it's your boy GD back with All Things Basketball with GD Podcasts. And guys, this is episode 199. So we have this one and then, of course, the big 200. Of course, I'll be advertising that on IG and in other places. Yeah, this is going to be a week 22 recap. Really quick, there's some news here, but there's a couple of other things I want to address as well. So without any further delay, let's get right into it. So as we do every single recap, we'll talk about our players of the week. And the player of the week for the West, Luka Doncic. He's been on a tear as of late, guys. He went 4-0 for the week. Of those wins, all on the road, guys. At Sacramento, twice. At Utah, and then at Houston. His team got wins there. For Luka, for that week, 32.5 points, 11 rebounds, 9.5 assists, and nearly 2 steals is what he averaged. Shooting from the field, over 51%, and also from three-point range. Actually, it's the exact same percentage, so wow. And then of his 28 free throws, he only made 19, so he missed 9. Not the perfect week in that regard, but still, Luka Doncic carrying his Dallas Mavericks. And guys, they're playing well, and this is the time of year you want to play well. So they're putting themselves amongst those top 6 teams the way they're playing, and we'll see if they can continue that pace down the stretch. And then for the Eastern Conference, DeJounte Murray for the Atlanta Hawks. He's been carrying the load lately since they're without Trae Young. So for the week, his team went 3-1. They beat Boston twice, guys, including the game they were down 30. Wow. And then they beat Portland as well. Their one loss was to Milwaukee. Murray for the week averaged over 28 points, over 10 assists, and nearly 6 rebounds. He shot it from the field nearly 44%. He's not as proficient from three, about 32.6%. And then he didn't shoot a lot of free throws for the week, guys. He only attempted 10 and made 6. But DeJounte Murray, I tell you, he's fighting, he's clawing, he's trying to keep his team within that play-in position. Doing a good job, especially this week, guys. So guys, that's your players of the week. Now let's talk about the players for the month of March. Actually, it'll be your players for the month, your rookies for the month, and your coaches for the month. And in the West, the guy we just talked about, Luka Doncic, his team went 11-4 for the week. He averaged, again, 32.5 points, over 10 rebounds per game, over 10 assists per game. So Luka averaging a triple-double for the month of March, and his team playing pretty good. So Luka getting things done for his Dallas Mavericks. And then in the Eastern Conference, my guy, Jalen Brunson, who had a fantastic month of March. The team went 9-5. He's averaging nearly 29 points per game, nearly 6 assists, and just about 3 rebounds for the New York Knicks for the month of March. And included in that is that 61-point game that he had at San Antonio, the game in which they lost, by the way. But Jalen Brunson, I tell you what, man, with all the players that's missing, guys like Julius Randle, guys like OG Anunoby in and out of the lineup, guys like Mitchell Robinson. Jalen has went above and beyond the call of duty for the New York Knicks, and kudos to him for that. And keeping them amongst those top 3 to 5 teams in the Eastern Conference. It's been a battle, guys. Everybody's like lumped together, but somehow the Knicks are surviving with all the losses that they have in terms of players. Guys are stepping up like Josh Hart, Dante DiVincenzo, Isaiah Hartenstein. Deuce McBride now is catching fire. So that's the kind of support Jalen needs for this team to keep going and make a strong finish down the stretch. So again, Jalen Brunson, player of the month in March for the Eastern Conference. All right, so we'll look at the rookies next. Rookies of the month in the West. Who else can it be but Victor Wembanyama for the San Antonio Spurs, averaging over 21 points per game. 10.5 rebounds, nearly 4 blocks a game, guys, and then over a steal per game. And included in his month, in that same game that Jalen Brunson dropped to 61, he had 40 points, 20 rebounds, and 7 assists in that game. So Victor Wembanyama, the runaway rookie of the year in my eyes, having a sensational month of March. So Wemby getting it done. And then for the East, Brandon Miller, who's starting to see steady playing time for the Charlotte Hornets, averaging 18.6 points per game, over 5 rebounds, and 2.6 assists. He's getting to play now. He's getting a bit of confidence there for the Hornets. Hornets with not much to play for, but at least they're able to develop their young talent, guys like Brandon Miller. Coaches of the month. Let's start with Ime Udoka for the Houston Rockets. The Houston Rockets have been trying to climb, guys. They're trying to climb into that play-in spot. They went 13-2 for the month, including a 11-game win streak, guys. So Ime Udoka has those guys playing well. And this is in the light of them missing their best player, I think, Operin Sengun, who went down with the knee injury. Let's be honest, we know the man can coach, so this kind of run isn't that surprising. The only thing that makes it surprising is that he's doing it without his best player. You know, depending how they finish this year, even if they're on the outside looking in, I think things are looking up in terms of the Houston Rockets for next year. In the East, just the guy coaching the best team in the NBA right now, and actually Udoka's replacement, Joe Mazzulla for the Boston Celtics. The Celtics went 12-4 for the month, including a 9-game win streak for them. So Joe Mazzulla, you hear him catch some kind of flack. Oh, they shoot too many 3-point shots and so forth. But listen, man, he got this team humming right now. Best record throughout the NBA. And they're playing well. The only thing is, come playoff time, can they finish the deal? That'll be the question, because they'll be the overall favorite to win it all, guys. So we'll see if they can cash that check come June in the NBA Finals. All right, guys, so that's your rookies, your players, your coaches for the month of March. Now let's talk injury news, guys. Mitchell Robinson for the New York Knicks, I was just talking about him. He returns to the lineup, guys, on March 27th in a road win at Toronto. And the score was 145-101, one of the highest scoring Knicks games in their history. Mitchell Robinson, he missed 50 games with that ankle injury that he had. And in the game, he played 12 minutes, scored 8 points, grabbed 2 rebounds, had 2 blocks. But guys, then after this game, he missed the next 2 games. At San Antonio and actually at home playing the Oklahoma City Thunder. Mitchell Robinson working himself back into playing shape slowly but surely, but a body that they need, guys, especially going to need come playoff time. So they're working him in slowly, which is the right thing to do. They're being cautious, which is the right thing to do. I would say he'll see some games, that's for sure. They'll just be very cautious and treat him with kid gloves. So that's that bit of news. Joel Embiid, guys, for the Philadelphia 76ers. He's due to return during week 23, this week here, from that knee injury that he sustained He should be debuting this week, guys. I expect the same thing like with Mitchell Robinson, for them to treat him with kid gloves. Be very cautious, not overwork him, because Philadelphia right now, they're within the play-in spot, looking to rise and get back into that sixth spot. So they're going to be very, very, very cautious with Embiid, because they're going to need him come playoff time. So you don't want to overwork him leading up to that, but you want to at least let him get his legs under him with some playing time. Trae Young of the Atlanta Hawks, I was just talking about him. He's still rehabbing from that finger injury, guys. And right now, there's still no timetable in terms of his return. If I had to gauge, maybe before year's end, and then once they hit that play-in, I would expect him to be part of that play-in situation. But as of now, no timetable for Trae Young with the finger injury. LaMelo Ball, guys, for the Charlotte Hornets. He is shut down for the rest of the season, guys, with that ankle injury. Remember, guys, he's been out of the lineup pretty much since All-Star break prior to it. With that ankle injury, they're being very cautious with him. So this will be your second season where he's shut down. Right now, the Charlotte Hornets are kind of in a quagmire, guys, because here's your franchise player, and he hasn't played much the past couple of years, so I understand they gave him that big money, his rookie extension, but they're going to have to, especially in this offseason, what to do in terms of Ball and his health. You hope it's not a situation like his brother, Lonzo, where Lonzo, he hasn't even played in a couple of seasons. So, yes, yeah, Charlotte has some heavy thinking to do come this offseason in terms of LaMelo Ball. So we'll see what happens there. Then the last one I'll talk about is Malik Monk. Remember, guys, I talked about Kevin Huerter, him being out for the season in the playoffs with the shoulder injury. Now Malik Monk is going to be out 4 to 6 weeks with a sprained MCL. Right now, things are getting thin over there with the Sacramento Kings, especially in terms of shooting guard. You might have to use a guy like Davion Mitchell to kind of plug into that position there. Yeah, it's not looking good, guys, in terms of Monk and Huerter. By this rate, he should make it back for playoffs, I would think. But yeah, it's not a good situation, guys. Mike Brown, he'll figure things out over there, so we'll see what happens with Sacramento. All right, guys, so that is your injury news. Let us move on to fines and ejections. Kelly Oubre of the Philadelphia 76ers, along with his coach Nick Nurse, fined by the league $50,000. And this is for verbally abusing the referees after a home loss to the LA Clippers, 108-107, after a non-call on Oubre as he was driving down the lane. And then Kawhi, he hits the game-winning basket, and then Oubre with another chance goes in, he's unable to cash in. And then I saw the tirade he had. Let's say he used the B word very effortlessly and very generously, let's put it that way, towards the referee. So for that, he got fined. And Nick Nurse, he was hot and livid, and he addressed the refs after the game as well. But I saw where Nick Nurse was trying to hold Oubre back, so I don't understand why he got such a huge fine. But again, guys, I point to the refereeing on the season overall. It's been bad, guys. And I saw this at the end, and I'm like, come on, what are we doing here? And especially, I don't want to say, but you would expect the home team to get some kind of at least leeway when it comes to these kind of calls. But that's not even happening, guys. I see it with my Knicks. The refereeing's been bad. It's been bad all year, and there's really no explanation as to why. We can speculate till the cows come home, but it's been bad. And it's got to be addressed in the offseason. It really does, because it's been subpar at best, as I've echoed many times on this podcast. Victor Wembanyama, he got fined $25,000 for, get this, tossing the ball into the stands after a home win, 130-126 over my Knicks. And I saw the play. It's what he did was he basically threw the ball to a fan, and he got fined for it. And I'm like, come on. Is this what we doing? The league is so desperate for money that you're going to find this kid in his elation on beating the Knicks, a playoff team, by the way. He's so happy, you know, he grabs the ball and then he tosses it to a fan. Come on. So they give Victor Wembanyama the fine. I'm sure he, in his mind, was like puzzled, you know, being from France. I'm sure they do that over there all the time. But over here, it's frowned upon. Go figure. And then the last thing I'll talk about, your buddy and mine, Draymond Green. He was ejected with 4 minutes into the game, a game that they played on the road, Golden State, versus the Orlando Magic. A very good team this year, guys. I've talked about them on my last episode. But Draymond gets ejected after arguing with the ref over a call that was made on Steph Curry. So he's drawing back and forth. And the thing with Draymond, he doesn't have an off switch when it comes to those sort of things. He's got to know, okay, my plea is not being met or heard, so I got to draw back. But he keeps going. He keeps going. Even Steph was right there when he was drawing, and then the refs just had enough. I mean, he gave him the first tech. He keeps going. He gives him the second tech. And then you see Steph Curry visibly upset that Draymond got tossed. Some people say he was crying. You want to say that? Fine. But you can see he was not thrilled with the fact that Draymond was tossed from the game. A game that they had to scratch and claw and win on the road. But it would have been nice to have Draymond there to kind of make the struggle for the win a bit easier if you have him on the floor. And then I saw this clip where I guess somebody picked it up. After the game, the team's going in the tunnel. Steph's going in the tunnel to the locker room, and one of the first people to meet him is Draymond with a smile on his face, like, yeah. And you know, social media is gonna be like, yeah, where were you, or stuff like that. And then Draymond gets on his podcast, the Draymond Green podcast, and he says he knows the team needs him, he know they need him on the floor, they know that he shouldn't be getting himself ejected. So it was kind of a, it wasn't even an apology. It was like, I know what I'm supposed to do. I didn't do it. Let's move on. And again, you know how I feel about this whole situation with Draymond. The accountability. Where is it in this situation? So when you see a guy you go to war with, Steph Curry, upset the way you see him upset, I'm sure he saw the clips of Steph's reaction. You got to be a little more, I don't want to say sensitive, but you got to be able to read the room, Draymond. Your antics are not good. And some people say, oh, at least he didn't fight somebody or kick somebody or this and that. But still, it's the idea that you are not there for your team. That's the problem, Draymond. You weren't there for your team when they needed you. It's these sort of things that you don't do your team any favors when you do that. And of course, Steve Kerr, he'll say he should know better and stuff like that. But again, the accountability is where I rest at. You got to have better awareness. That's all I'm saying. So I'll just leave it alone there. All right. So that's your fines and ejections, guys. Let's talk Domantas Sabonis, who's having a pretty historical season on the low, guys. And a guy who was somehow omitted from the All-Star game, which is a crime within itself. He should be all NBA. He should make one of those three teams, whether it be first, second, or third. He should make it. He's having that kind of season, guys. And he now has the longest double-double streak in the post-merger era with 54 and counting. And guys, he could average, when all is said and done, over 20 points, 13 rebounds, and 8 assists, which would put him in the company of a guy named Wilt Chamberlain as the only players to do this. That's the kind of season that Domantas Sabonis is having, very quietly. Hey, listen, I believe he's still leading the league in rebounding, so he's having a fantastic year, guys, and it's a story that's not really being talked about, but he's having a fantastic year, and hey, kudos to DeMontis if he can keep this up and those averages on that same plane where he's in the Wilt Chamberlain conversation. That's pretty rarefied air, guys. So definitely kudos to him for that. All right, guys. So that is your NBA stuff. I wanted to touch on two issues that has come up in light of women's college basketball. You know, I've been talking about that a lot lately, and it's kind of spilling into this week, but I have to address it, guys. Emmanuel Achiu, he goes after Angel Reese for her post-game comments. So let me lay it out. In the post-game, you know, they do the interviews afterwards. They'll talk to the players first, and then they'll talk to the coach afterwards. So there was three players there. Of course, Angel Reese, obviously, Flauje Johnson, and Haley Van Lith. Here's how it played out, guys. Flauje and Haley were asked about Angel Reese as a teammate. And both came out there and defended her and saying that people don't know the real her, what she's like behind the scenes and so forth, how she's a supportive teammate, how she encourages others and all those sort of things and really, you know, bigging her up. And to which Angel's sitting there, of course, she's going to get emotional about it. And two reasons. You got your fellow teammate standing up for you, which you love. And this is going to be your last game in an LSU uniform. So the combination of those two things and then the reporter afterwards, another reporter that is, asks her, how do you feel when you hear your teammate stand up for you like that? That's when she goes into what she was talking about, how, you know, the things she gone through, the tough years she had, the death threats she received for being the villain, the sexualization, which is a whole nother issue and vile and disgusting. So that's why she gave the comments she gave. But you got people like Emmanuel Achiu, who I call it lazy journalism, guys, because you take a clip and listen to that and run with it without hearing the whole totality of why she said what she said. So this is Emmanuel being lazy, listening to a clip and then giving your racial neutral, gender neutral opinion to a subject you're not really knowledgeable about. You're not knowledgeable about it. You take it and you run with it. And by the way, you sidestep the fact that she talked about receiving death threats and the sexualization. You ignore all that to attack the young lady. And that's wrong. That is wrong. And you needed to be called out. Joy Taylor got on you right there. Bravo, Joy Taylor. Taylor Rooks, one of the people I respect in the field of sports, great interviewer. She went after you. My guy, Ryan Clark. He went after you. Matt Barnes, he went after you. And rightfully so, you deserve it. It's ill-informed and it's lazy journalism to take a clip and run with it. And then you come with this sort of mea culpa of people that respectfully disagree, which is all hogwash anyway. You know why you're really wrong in this situation? Because you get a guy like Jason Whitless to join you in that nonsense. That's when you know you're on the wrong side of this. So you should be ashamed of yourself for that take. You should be ashamed. Here this young lady is playing basketball, hooping. Is she a bit brash? Of course. Well, I'd like her to dial it down a bit. I would like that, sure. But she's being her authentic self, and I can't knock that. I can't. Especially if it's getting results, and it got results. The team got all the way to the Elite Eight. It wasn't like this is a 500 team, guys. So for you to come out the way you came out is 100% wrong. And you owe her an apology, to be honest with you. You owe her an apology. So that's all I'll say on that. But you're wrong, Emmanuel Achiu. You're wrong. And then speaking of Jason Whitless, that's who I call him, about a few weeks ago. And he talks about how the establishment wants Dawn Staley to win. Just to disparage her and what she has done. She has her team undefeated in the NCAA tournaments. They were undefeated last year too, by the way, until they got knocked off in the Final Four. So here you have Dawn Staley with an accomplished team that she's had for many years now over there in South Carolina. A program she revitalized from the ground up. And you want to take this See, I know what you're doing. It's everything to cater for a certain segment of the population. That's what you're doing. You want to cater for them, and you want to buck dance for them. And that's wrong. Dawn Staley is one of the best recruiters amongst the college coaches. Her players believe in her. They trust in her. And then you have some people say, oh, but she only recruits black players. Last time I checked, Chloe Kitts is a starter. She's white. And a major contributor to that team. So enough with the nonsense already. What are we even talking about here? But you have an audience you want to cater to. You have a platform you want to run. And you're as wrong as two left shoes. So that's all I'll say in regard to him as well. All right, guys, that's enough of these tirades, but I had to get that stuff off my chest because it just doesn't sit well with me. And when these situations arise, somebody has to say something about it. So, yeah, I guess it may as well be me. All right, guys, so that is it for this episode. And number 200 is coming, guys. It's coming. So I'll be advertising it this week on all the socials and so forth. It'll be a live show, from what I understand. April 13th, 1 p.m. That's right around the time I'm thinking. So I'll let you know as the week goes on, guys. All right. So I thank you for listening as always. All things basketball with GD.com. That's the website. You know, I'm on YouTube. Like and write a blurb about the videos there. All the socials, I'm there. And support it, guys, on the website. Many ways to support this podcast. So I thank you for listening and we'll talk soon. Take care. Hello, guys. Thank you so much for following and supporting the All Things Basketball with GD podcast. You can find us at allthingsbasketballwithgd.com. Also, you can email us at sportsdudegd@gmail.com. You can find us on YouTube, All Things Basketball GD. Like or comment on our videos there. You can follow us on all the socials, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter. You can follow me on all podcast platforms, including Spotify and Apple, where you can leave a review. Support us, guys, at my donate page on my website. There I have a Buy Me a Coffee button, PayPal button, and a Spotify button. Also, you can cash at me, $GD, that sports dude. Thanks again for listening. And take care.